This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is hour number three of a Throwback Thursday. We are talking about 2018, where Tiger Woods won at Eastlake, winning the Tour Championship. And, kind of an ending a five-game win streak. But throughout the show, it came to our attention that this was also an important date in NFL history, because on this date, Drew Bledsoe was hit by Mo Lewis, and in came Tom Brady, and the rest is history. It's funny because I've always wondered, and I keep thinking to myself, when you have players that end up becoming the greatest ever, some are just given the opportunity immediately. We kind of get a feeling like that they are going to be that type of player. They're going to play. They're going to be able to shine. You know, like we're talking about Tiger Woods, for example. Tiger Woods was on the Mike Douglas show at 5 years old. There was a feeling of inevitability that he was going to be as good as he was. You know, there was a wonder if he would live up to the hype and whatnot. Yeah, I know Michael Jordan wasn't drafted number one overall, but Jordan was going to play and be a part of a Bulls team, so he was given the opportunity. But Brady's opportunity really came on this date back into 2001, because Drew Bledsoe would have been the starter all the way through had he just continued to play and not had been hurt. Now, you'd like to think that somehow the football planets would have lined up and eventually Brady would have seized an opportunity at some point to let his ability to play this position shine. But in this case, it really was opened up on this date, because that's how it came out. Real quick, the Tennessee Volunteers soccer team that is playing against Auburn coming up this weekend. Actually, tonight, I should say. It's a home opener for the Tennessee soccer team. It's Ted Lasso night. The first 100 fans in tonight's Tennessee game are going to get a Ted Lasso shirt, as well as orange visors, and it's Dollar Dog night. So congratulations to Ted Lasso for infiltrating the collegiate marketing world. Like the 80s when bad meant good. All right, Jerry Palm, who we missed an hour or two, will join us coming up in right now as we talk some college football with him. And then we got Patrick Creighton, our good friend, to join us to talk about the Texans in their game tonight against Carolina. It's all coming up in hour three as we continue along on Sports Map Radio.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joins us talking college football as we head to week four. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Before we get to some games and your thoughts on some of the matchups this weekend, this news about the college football playoff board of managers, the entity, deciding not to vote on it, big deal, little deal, no deal, how does the average fan take what didn't occur?
Well, I mean, I don't think we can be surprised, right? Once realignment started in the middle of this, it was not going to be possible to come up with something everybody would agree to, because, the conference memberships are unsettled at this point. And there really is no reason to rush. I mean, I know they were probably hoping to get the playoff format changed during this contract, at least originally. But even that turns out to not get unanimous support among the people who are in charge of this. So I just think it needs to wait. And everybody came to that realization, and that's why it's not going to happen right away.
Do you think it happens within the next couple of years, within this 12-year current contract? With like 4 years left?
I think it'll be probably at least a year, maybe two, before they start talking about it again.
Okay.
Before things settle down enough where, right now the American Conference is sitting at 18, and that's not really tenable for them. So something else for sure is going to happen. When it happens, remains to be seen. We still don't know exactly when all of these moves are going to happen, other than BYU is for sure going to the American in 2003. Everything else is speculation at this point. So I think we got, I'm sorry, 2023. And I think we probably have to wait at least that long before we can take it up again.
All right. Last week we saw Alabama have their hands full with Florida. Does that say more about Alabama or more about Florida? How did you take that game?
I just thought it was a good game, you know, both teams. The thing that was interesting for me is that Florida played one quarterback. They went with Emory Jones the whole way, but they had to because the other guy was hurt. But, you know, they got down early. They came back. You know, that's a tough place to play. And, you know, Florida was a top 10 team, so, you know, we shouldn't be too surprised. They were able to put up a fight, and they put up a fight. So, and Alabama, being the great team that they are, you know, still found a way to win in a hostile environment in less than ideal circumstances. So, I think it says something about both teams and that they're both pretty good.
Let's get to the games coming up this weekend. Arkansas and Texas A&M, this game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is a neutral site game, but Arkansas at 16, they're 3-0. They run the ball really well. They did beat Texas, but are we still wondering where exactly Arkansas is, or do we kind of know what they are?
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing that they're playing very well. It wasn't just the Texas game. You know, Arkansas is doing a pretty good job. They're going to give Texas A&M a fight. And this is the first real test for the new quarterback. So for A&M, with the, you know, Haynes King being out and Carzada?
Carzada? I don't know. That's the way I pronounced it.
Sorry, I'll get it right eventually. I'm still working on the name of the Clemson quarterback. never mind. Anyways, it'll be a real test for him. Not his first start because he started against New Mexico and played well, but New Mexico's not Arkansas. So, I think Arkansas puts up a pretty good fight. I think they're a touchdown underdog or pretty close, and I think it's going to be a closer game than that.
All right, the game in Chicago between Wisconsin and Notre Dame. If you had told me that they hadn't played since the 1960s, I would have said, oh, come on, they must have played some other time at some other point, like in the 80s or something. And then you're like, wow, 50-plus years they haven't played against each other.
Yeah, it's that's going to be a defensive battle because both teams are better on defense than they are on offense and more reliable on that side of the ball. So I think points are going to be hard to come by. And if we have anything like the wind we had here yesterday, goodness, it's going to be, I think the weather is going to be better. They should have a nice day at Soldier Field for that. But, two quarterbacks, you know, the Notre Dame quarterback is a transfer from Wisconsin. Yeah. So he'll be familiar with the defensive schemes. I don't know how much that helps because they scout so well anyway. But, you know, it's really going to be about, you know, which offensive line can handle the job. I trust Wisconsin's offensive line a little more than I do Notre Dame's right now. And so I'm giving Wisconsin a slight edge in a game that could be played in the teens.
We've had a lot of this with Notre Dame in the past where we've overemphasized how good they are. We've undervalued them. Where do you see them right now after just three games?
Well, I don't think they've been overly impressive in any of them. They were better against Purdue than in their first two games, but that was still a 14-point game, and you know Notre Dame got a kind of a late score to put it away. It was, you know, that was a game that was within reach of Purdue, but their defense really did a good job on the Boilers and made it hard on them. But that, you know, their defense is winning games for them right now, more so than their offense. And that they're going to have to get a better contribution from that side of the ball if they're going to start beating teams as good as Wisconsin.
Clemson is going to take on NC State. I know the Wolfpack didn't play. They played at Mississippi State. Are the Wolfpack sneaky enough to give Clemson, who's kind of had some trouble this year, a fit?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't really think it matters. Georgia Tech gave them a fit. That's arguably the worst team in the ACC. So you have to assume, you know, NC State might score, probably isn't going to score 10 points, unless their defense scores. But, where's Clemson getting points from? On anybody at this point. That their offense is just completely dysfunctional. And they're a 10-point favorite, and they shouldn't be a 10-point favorite over anybody right now. And I expect that. Unless the light bulb goes on for Clemson, which, you know, at some point it may, probably will, I don't see how this is in anything but another low-scoring competitive game.
Baylor against Iowa State, two really good scoring defenses. In terms of the Bears, they're 3-0, but Iowa State coming off the loss to Iowa. How do you see this one in Waco? The Bears, Dave Aranda's got a tough team in Waco.
Yeah, actually, Iowa State played UNLV last week.
Oh, UNLV, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 weeks ago they played Iowa.
Yeah, the Iowa, yeah. This is a this could be a sneaky competitive game. Iowa State's pretty good, and I trust their stars on offense more than I trust Baylor's. I mean, Baylor hasn't really been tested by a quality opponent yet. So I trust Iowa State a little more. I think they'll win, but it's not going to be easy. Baylor looks like they're playing with some confidence.
Do you think West Virginia can do anything on the road in Norman against Oklahoma? There's been some little bit of close games for Lincoln Riley there.
Actually, same thing in an opposite way about Oklahoma as Clemson. Oklahoma's scoring, they're not defending.
Yeah.
And they've played, there was a 5-point win over Tulane, a touchdown over Nebraska, which was actually lower scoring. Why are they a 2.5 touchdown favorite on anybody right now? They haven't shown that they can win a game like that. West Virginia just came off a win over previously 15th-ranked Virginia Tech last week at home. Yeah, I expect West Virginia to be in this game.
All right. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports. We go over some Week 4 matchups. Appreciate your time, my friend. Glad to catch up with you.
Sure, thanks.
You got it. All right, we'll continue along with Wake Up Call. We got Patrick Creighton coming up this hour. Tonight's Thursday night game. May not feel like it's a good one. It's Houston, which is going to have Davis Mills at quarterback against Carolina, who are 2-0 with Sam Darnold. But there are some storylines within the Texans that I do want to get to. Patrick Creighton is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk to him about that as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 2018 Throwback Thursday. Tiger Woods winning at Eastlake, ending a 5-year winless drought. By the way, earlier on the show, we talked about John Turturro because I mentioned that he played Howard Cosell in a Monday night
still
football
can't picture
TV
it.
Movie. Yeah. Michael said that when he thinks of John Turturro, he thinks of Knish in Rounders with Ed Norton and Matt Damon. Good movie. I like Rounders. I think Rounders is a good movie. I think John Malkovich's Russian accent was not good. But overall, I thought Rounders was a good movie. Did you ever see it?
I don't think I have.
It's about poker.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Is it a sports movie? I guess that's the question, right?
Is it a sports movie? For Rounders?
Yeah.
Because it was poker? Yeah, it's poker.
Poker.
It was a guy that in the beginning of the movie, he loses all of his money that he's been saving to go to Vegas to participate in the World Series of Poker. And then he slowly gets back into the world, and Ed Norton plays his friend. And Knish is, John Turturro plays a guy that makes a living playing poker, but he's a grinder. He never takes the big bets. He never takes the big chance. He plays for rent money, alimony, so his kids can eat, things like that.
That's awesome.
That's what he does. So he makes his money grinding it out.
Grinded.
That's it. Plays to make a little bit of money. And that's that was his character. Matt Damon went for the big score against the KGB that was played by John Malkovich.
Right.
Yes. So that was a pretty good movie. All right, we're going to do the Toy Hall of Fame because there's 11 inductions. We did
12.
This last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we do this before?
Yeah, we do it all the
12
time.
12
finalists.
Finalists for three spots.
For
in the
three spots.
Toy Hall of Fame. Now, are these toys we know or are these modern toys that I would not have any idea?
No, you exist? Should know these toys. Some are okay. Old, some are new, but right. I'm going over this list here. Yeah, we should know what all of these toys are. Some of them I don't agree with, but there's a few on here that I'm like, oh.
All right, let's go
diving into our childhood. Well, the first one here, you and I have you might have a little bit of history with this. I never will. And that's American Girl dolls.
I did not have the American Girl doll experience with my daughter. We tried. She wasn't really into it, but it was dangerous because my wife whispered to me, this is very expensive.
Yes.
And we did take her. We took her when we were in Manhattan 1 year when she was young. We took her to the store, and I think she was ready to dive on in. But I don't really remember American Girl. So I guess she was okay.
I mean, you know, it has good Hall of Fame credentials, right?
Yeah.
When you think about it. Because, I mean, its own store. There was a mall here in Houston where it had its own store.
Yeah. And it's the same thing in Manhattan. It is its own place.
I looked at it. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, I don't know how much the doll is, but then you got the accessories and this and that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they gave the doll away. If they were like, it's a free doll. Yeah. But, you know, you obviously have to dress her up. Right? So, yeah, I was a little nervous when we went
in
there.
And then, came off. It had cartoons as well. So, I mean, that's a good one.
Is it a Hall of Famer? All right, I got it on the back burner, but let's see what else is out there.
All right, this one right here. This one, I'm surprised it wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Battleship.
Oh, how come it isn't in the Hall of Fame? That's amazing.
I think it's, just been passed over time after time.
This is like when you see a rock art group that gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're like, shouldn't they be already in?
Why are they
getting in there in 2020 or 2019? Why weren't they in the second it was open?
And let's do it. Original Battleship. Electronic Battleship is fun for the noises, but I hate to have to program everything in.
Original Battleship was fantastic.
Oh, man.
Oh, I hated programming that in. I had Electronic Battleship. Me and my brother played when I was a kid. Yeah. It was a pain.
The
it
noises
really
were cool. I mean, you couldn't deny whether it was a hit or a miss. Because I don't know about you, an original Battleship, sometimes like, no, you missed.
Yeah.
Let me just shift it over a little bit. There you go.
Fantastic.
Now it's a fine miss now.
I used to love the Strategic Element, man. I had those pegs all over the place, man. Really, really looking at my board, seeing where ships would fit.
Yep.
My brother always put a ship in one particular location, so I always knew I could get one there. He didn't really mix it up all that much. But, we used to play Battleship a lot.
And you secretly hoped you could find that Destroyer right away.
Right away.
Because if you couldn't, you were lost. You were done.
Great. I got Battleship on this list. Head American Girl doll, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
This next one, I don't know if it's a toy, but billiards.
Ooh, that's...
Pool table, for people who don't know what billiards are.
When I think of billiards...
Thinking of
I think
smoky
of like,
bars, right?
Yeah, I think of like Steve Mizrak, queuing up his stick and making some trick shot, or the Black Widow just... knocking them in and, that kind of thing.
Just
I think it was
like,
Jeanette Lee. She was the Black Widow. She was a fantastic player.
And just, debauchery.
Yeah. No, when I think of billiards, I think when my freshman year in college, when me and my buddy went to the pool hall to play, and this guy came up to us and was like, "Y'all want to play $50 nine ball?" And I'm like, $50 nine ball? I think me and my friend have $3 between us.
Check, please.
Yeah. You want us to play $50 nine ball against you who clearly live here. No, we're not going to be doing that.
See, back in my early days in college, a guy that I worked with, I wasn't in school with him, but a guy that I worked with, he and I used to go and play pool. And one summer, we must have gone every single night, and we'd always go to the same place, which huge pool hall. I mean, there was just tables all over the place. This guy would save us our table.
Oh, that's cool.
Every single time. And he's like, "Why would I give it to somebody else? You guys come in every night. I don't know that person or that person." We're like, wow. We didn't know we had made it.
I know. That's pretty cool.
And then we stopped going.
Years later, when I got older, my buddy and I would go to a pool hall in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And there was this young couple there. And the guy came up to us. He's like, "Hey, my girlfriend, you guys want to play her in a game?" And I immediately knew the hustle. And I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. Beautiful girl. Yep. Clearly they were playing the hustle. And I was like, no, thank you. So back to the original point. I would take this off the list. I don't think it's a toy.
No, I don't think so either. We brought up American Girl dolls.
Right.
Right. But if you're going to put a toy into the Hall of Fame, I think this next one trumps American Girl dolls.
Okay.
And that's Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah. Now, first of all, Cabbage Patch Kids should absolutely be in there.
Because that's the original.
People murdered each other for the Cabbage Patch dolls. They slaughtered them in pits.
Yes.
Like, literally, what department stores did back in the 80s was they just gathered humanity and just went, "Hunger Games, fight! There's three left! Go!" And then whoever was left in the bloodbath got the dolls for Christmas. That was what it was for Cabbage Patch Kid dolls. You couldn't find one if your life depended on it back in the day.
No, you couldn't.
Could not find one. And remember the appeal was they were all just slightly different.
They were slightly different. Man.
And
you
they
know,
all had a birth certificate.
Yeah, a birth certificate that you had to sign your name to because you adopted it. It was now yours.
That was yours. You adopted this and Xavier Roberts, I think, invented it. And he had the signature on the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got one for Christmas. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Cabbage Patch dolls. Yeah. Yeah, these were the toys.
But I would say that if you're going to put a doll in, that trumps American Girl.
Without question.
You know, there's, I don't know. This next one, I don't know. My kids had it. The Fisher-Price Corn Popper.
Yeah, I had this. I saw this. My kids didn't have this, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, yeah. If you guys don't know what it's talking about, like, I don't know, a wheelbarrow, I guess, type. Or
yeah, it was kind of like you pushed it.
And a little thing popped up. It's iconic, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is iconic. It's been around.
Yeah.
Chris might have had that when he was a kid. So
yeah,
I'm not sure,
I think all kids have it because they can push it around. It makes these popping noise.
It makes noise.
Kind of helps them walk, I guess. Encourages
them to start walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which can be a good or a bad thing. It's up to you.
Depends on what they do with it.
This next one, I put this in the same category as billiards. Mahjong.
Is that the tile game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's more of a computer thing. I play that on, but I know you could do it in real life.
Yeah.
I play
we all saw, if you haven't checked it out, what was that Chinese movie? Oh, man. I forgot what the movie was called.
Mulan?
No, not Mulan. Did they play it in Mulan?
No.
Because it was iconic in this movie.
Was that Rich Crazy Asians? Yeah, right. Rich Crazy Asians
or something like that. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's funny.
I don't know much about it, so I don't want to say it doesn't belong because I don't know how cultural relevant it is in other parts of the world. So
yeah, but it started off as a gambling game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, I put that like with billiards. I don't know if it's a toy.
You know what it was? It was like dominoes. I remember when I was a kid, dominoes were just things you would stack up to knock over.
Exactly.
Like it was on That's Incredible where they would like, here's a 2 million domino thing. And you'd watch it with amazement.
And all of a sudden a face appeared. You're like, wow.
That's amazing. And then it wasn't until I was older that I was like, oh, no, this is an actual game. Like that people play and they play on, you know, outside, you know, little stores and stuff. And it's gambling and it's a very big and important game. I remember a listener called me up and he goes, you're the whitest guy I've ever heard on the radio if you don't know what dominoes is. I go, I don't know how to play dominoes. And he was like, yeah. He goes, and he told me how to play. And I was like, how did I live my whole life and not know that? I thought they were just little bricks you knocked over stuff with. He goes, no, it's an intricate game. So this, I think, is in the same category, right? That it's a lot more than what it is.
Yeah, it's... My you're talking about Mahjong?
Yeah, Mahjong.
Yeah, it's more the game that you play.
Yeah, so I'll put it on the list.
All right, now I know this one will hit you in the heart. And this is pretty much the only reason why I brought up this list was because of this.
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe.
Oh my God, Masters of the Universe is great.
If you don't know what that is, you've been living under a rock for way too
He-Man,
long.
We're talking about Man of Arms, Skeletor,
and
Teela.
I will say this. I am so happy that He-Man and Skeletor made it back in meme form, where they just come in, drop a random back. There's one that really bothers me, and I'll tell you real quick. Skeletor comes out and goes, if you're a junior, your mom probably screamed your name during beep.
Yeah, right.
And then takes off. Next time. And you know what? I'm a junior.
Ah,
so that now is burned in my head forever.
Masters of the Universe was a big deal because when you were a kid, you would get the figures, like the Star Wars action figures, and these were huge. They were big, and the playset, the Castle Grayskull, was fantastic.
Yep,
it really was a huge deal. The cartoon was great. I remember the cartoon as a kid. I loved it. We would get them on Laserdisc. Yeah,
Masters.
I think my brother and I had virtually every one of them.
Yeah.
Like, we loved them. Our friends loved them. So, yeah, that definitely belongs.
All right. Well, we're going to rifle through the rest of these real quick. Pinata.
No. But, yeah, I mean, no.
The game Risk.
Surprise. That's more of an adult game. That's something like my mom and dad played when they were, like, I didn't play it much, but yeah, it's an important game. It's strategic.
Now, I don't know about this one. Sand.
Come on. Sand?
Sand.
Is it like moon sand where you can sandboxes
exactly.
No.
You got two more. The Settlers of Catan, which is now just Catan. That's that game that I guess people like to play.
I know that, but don't know much of it.
And the final one, Toy Fire Engine.
Why? That's kind of an iconic toy.
Yeah.
Should be in the Hall of Fame anyway.
Yep.
I like Cabbage Patch Dolls. How high, how high, how high, how high.
Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're going on Throwback Thursday this morning. 2018, Tiger Woods winning at East Lake on this date ends a five-year winless drought. Brought Tiger back. And then I won the Masters the next year. And then, of course, the car accident back in late February of this year. Thursday night football tonight. Houston taking on Carolina Energy Stadium. Patrick Creighton joins us to help us go talk about this Texans team, because they've got a new quarterback tonight. And we know that it's been kind of one of the more bizarre off seasons that we've had. Patrick Creighton joining us here on Wake Up Call. How are you, my friend?
What is up, my people?
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, late hits on ESPN 97.5, so I wanted to make sure I got that for you. So give me an idea from the standpoint of this team right now. Look, I get it. If you're trying to trade Deshaun Watson, you wouldn't activate him because you don't want him to get hurt. But is there other reason besides that? They just don't want him around?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons they don't want him around. In fact, I think there's 32 of them in number of civil and criminal suits against him right now. They don't want him. You know, if this is not anymore, you know, back in January, Deshaun, you know, leaking out, I don't want to be here anymore, I want to trade, the Texans thinking, well, you know, last year, you know, DeAndre Hopkins said he wanted to trade, and Bill O'Brien was just like, okay, fine, you're out of here. First bus, you're out of here. This time they decided, well, we're not going to sell Deshaun Watson for 5 cents on the dollar like we did with DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to slow play this like we should have. Let's wait him out. You know, we'll get him to calm down, come around, finally talk to us, and we'll patch things up with our franchise quarterback. But before they could do that, Tony Busby got in the way with 22 females that claimed that he sexually assaulted them or sexual misconduct or whatever he did during these massage sessions that he seems to have with a different girl every 48 hours. That right there is, he's never going to play for the Texans again. All right, the Texans will just as soon sign the quarterback who we can't even say his name. We just say he who shall not be named, who now hasn't played in the league since 2016. He has just as good a shot of taking an actual game snap for the Houston Texans as Deshaun Watson.
Where is this trade possible scenario? That we've heard a bunch of teams, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. You're closer, obviously, on the ground to this. Has there been any legitimate movement, or just rumors in the wind?
It's clickbait. It's all it is. It's clickbait. The reality is Deshaun's not going anywhere. And Deshaun's not going anywhere because nobody has any idea what's going on with him legally. Right now, there is a grand jury sending out subpoenas to determine whether or not he is going to be charged with a felony or multiple felonies. That grand jury is not expected to go until after the trade deadline, which means Deshaun's sitting at home doing nothing. Nobody is giving up assets for a guy they don't know if and when he is going to play. Here is essentially the timeline. If he's facing a grand jury, he's not going to play. When the grand jury convenes, right, and the thing with grand juries are, it's a one-sided affair. Only the prosecution is going to lay out their case. The defense, they don't get to say anything. This is, here is all the reasons why you should let us go to trial on Deshaun Watson. And they'll decide yes or no, and overwhelmingly grand juries say yes. So, I mean, you've heard the phrase, you can indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
He's extremely likely to be going to court. That doesn't mean that he's guilty. It means he's going to court. As long as all that's going on, he's not playing football, which means he's not playing this year. Period, the end. So all the talk about he's going to play, he's going to get traded, unless there is some extremely unforeseen break that says, A, all these criminal charges go away, all these civil suits go away. Oh, and Roger Goodell, for the first time since he's been commissioner, decides he is not going to suspend a player on the personal conduct policy okay, yeah, Vanny's going to trade and he's going to play. All this stuff about Deshaun's going to play, these people are just looking for clicks. If we break down the reality of the situation, Deshaun's not playing this year. Deshaun's going to be facing criminal charges. Whether he pleads out, beats them, is found, whatever the case may be, once all the criminal stuff ends, then the civil stuff begins. And there's 22 of those bad boys. They haven't even done depositions. They weren't scheduled for depositions until February after the season. Wow. Well, now that's all pushed back until after the criminal stuff is done. So then you got to get through all the civil stuff. Then, while the civil stuff is going on, the NFL will be conducting their investigation into Deshaun Watson. They haven't talked to him yet because of the criminal case going on. So after the criminal case is done, A, he faces the civil stuff. B, he faces Roger Goodell. And then the NFL will determine how long he is going to be suspended on the personal conduct policy. And I would tell you from what I've heard, from what you can put together, he's probably looking at a minimum of a one-year suspension because there's 22 women. This isn't one woman said, and she lied, and the NFL knew she lied, but they slapped Ezekiel Elliott with a six-game suspension anyway. This isn't that situation. There's 22 people, which means he's probably looking at a minimum of a year. Deshaun Watson is probably not going to see a football field until 2023, assuming he beats all the criminal stuff.
It is amazing to me with this franchise because it wasn't really that long ago. They're in the playoffs. They're playing Kansas City. They have this big lead. They lose the lead. They lose the game. And for a lot of franchises, they go, okay, what do we do to get back to where we just were, and how do we be better so that doesn't happen again? And instead, this franchise goes in a completely opposite direction, and it's drama all the time. They're trading players, getting rid of players, rebuilding, new coach Deshaun Watson troubles before this legal troubles. What has it been like to watch this team go from we got to the postseason and we're trying to get to a Super Bowl to now this constant list of things that have turned this franchise in the other direction?
You understand the concept of Nero playing the fiddle while Rome burned?
Right.
Either you are like a sociopath and you're playing the fiddle, enjoying watching the Texans burn, or you're drinking very heavily. Most people would probably be, because this is a team that was up three scores plus on the Super Bowl champions in their building in the second quarter. And from that point in time, it has been one of the most precipitous collapses, not just of a game, but of a franchise in the history of this league.
I agree with you. I have never seen anything like this. To go from that point to what we have today, I can't remember a team that fell that fast with all of the drama within it.
This is what happens when there is a leadership void. Unfortunately, the owner of the Texans does not appear to be a very good leader. And he seems to be perfectly fine with letting his personal spiritual advisor run the team to the point where Jamie Roots, who was the president of the organization since before they actually had a football team, was the right hand of Bob McNair for 20 years. Jamie Roots peaced out because of the nonsense with Cal McNair and Jack Easterby last season and how it divided the team. The allowing of Bill O'Brien to usurp all of his power because nobody wanted to step up and do anything, so they just, well, just let Bill do it. And, of course, Bill O'Brien made some of the worst trades, not only in franchise history, but in league history. And it destroyed the franchise.
Yeah.
That being said, well, we still don't know what the hell Cal McNair does. So far this year, Jack Easterby hasn't been an issue. Jack's been very public. Jack was very public in his presence all through training camp. He's out there on the field shouting encouragement to guys, offering water to the media. Jack has not been a distraction this year the way that he apparently was a year ago. So I can't sit here and damn Jack Easterby as much as I want to. I can't sit here and damn him this year because he hasn't been a problem this year. And David Culley, who was essentially brought in as a puppet coach to just do what he's told, who's never even been a coordinator, never even been on anybody's coordinator list. This is the guy who was the wide receivers coach in Kansas City when they had zero touchdowns by wide receivers for an entire season. This is the guy who was the wide receivers coach in Baltimore when their receiving group was ranked dead last. This team fights like hell for him.
Yeah.
There is not one bad thing you can say about David Culley. This team fights like absolute hell for him. The second half of that Browns game tells you everything you need to know about how bought in guys are. They lost Tyrod Taylor, who's basically been Deshaun Watson for six quarters. They lose Tyrod Taylor. They have to go to the rookie. The rookie's clearly not ready to play. That team fought like hell. They knew they were overmatched, but they were never out-hustled. They were never outworked. And that is a big difference between this team and the teams of years past.
That's a good selling point for tonight's game because, again, people may go, oh, yeah, the Texans are expected to be bad and the Panthers are still in that Matt Rule rebuilding mode. But you're talking about a team that has played well enough, like you said, fighting, that tonight could be an interesting game.
Tonight's going to be a really hard game for the Texans. The Panthers are an extremely physical defense. And while the Texans' offensive line has outperformed all expectations, they handled Myles Garrett and J.D. Clowney last week. They handled them. Those two guys, they got no sacks. The pocket was clean. The Texans' offensive line did the job last week. The Panthers are the league's best pass rush. Hassan Reddick's already got three sacks. Brian Burns already has two sacks. You know, Hassan Reddick last year had 12.5 sacks. Brian Burns, this is his third year, his first two seasons, he's got 16.5 sacks. They've got 10 sacks already. This is an extremely fast, physical defense. It's going to be a challenge because of the fact that you have a rookie quarterback making his first NFL start who showed a lot of inconsistencies last week when he came in. This Carolina defense has absolutely dominated running games. You got Shaq Thompson, you got Jeremy Chin. These guys allowed 73 rushing yards combined in their first two games. I mean, they totally dominated New Orleans. New Orleans couldn't do anything. They couldn't protect Jameis Winston. They couldn't run the football with Alvin Kamara. They could do nothing. Now you're going to a rookie quarterback and asking him, okay, look, this team's going to be really tough to run the ball. We want to run the ball, but there's going to be times you're going to have to make throws against this defense. There's going to be a very, very tall order for the Texans to pull this off. And, you know, you're not going to have Danny Amendola this week either. He's got a hamstring injury. So this is I think the Texans will fight. But I also think this is a fight where they probably can't win, and they're gonna take a lot of big shots. To me, the biggest thing is, are they gonna fight through this? I think that what we've seen so far is they'll be outmanned, but they won't be outworked.
He's the host of Late Hits on ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Patrick Creighton. We got to do this again, my friend. Thank you so much as always.
Oh, my pleasure, brother.
You got it, my man. Patrick Creighton joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. Always good stuff. And again, I'm fascinated with this decline. I really am. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer only at progressive.com. I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. I mean, we all know how hard it is to get to the playoffs. You know, when you have good teams, you expect to go, but you know how it is. You know, I live in Tennessee. The Titans have years where they go to the playoffs and they have years where they're pretty good and they don't go to the playoffs. So you don't take it for granted. You know, it can be hard. You know, things have to go right. You know, you have to avoid some injuries. But when they were in that game against Kansas City and they were up, and then you're like, okay, you lose. But then you see the big picture. Everyone's losing to Kansas City. Kansas City is Super Bowl champs. Okay, let's get back to the drawing board and let's get better. Let's get Kansas City good, as we say. Oh, they didn't. Oh, no. Let's forget that. Let's just destroy everything. And now look at what they are now. And I like the way he said it, though. They're fighting for David Culley, because we kind of made fun of David Culley getting hired there as a bad. But if he's got his guys fighting, even in losing efforts, he's got his guys fighting. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony P and Ron Culver.
All right, Ron's telling me this is Weezer from this was an 80s hit, Toto, yeah. Africa.
And this was actually on the Billboard chart. They released an album that was all covers.
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, I don't know if you remember Weezer. They're the ones that did Buddy Holly and Sweater Song. And,
I remember Weezer. Yeah, Buddy Holly was that was the coolest video
because
they interposed with the Happy Days, which was really cool. So, by the way, this hour Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage, Home Loans That Fit Your Life, Rocket Can. Go ahead.
So, no, but in 2018, they released an entire album. The entire album, all like 10 or 12 songs, are all just cover songs.
That's pretty wild.
And all like from the 80s and 70s. It was not bad. I mean, this is not bad.
No. Pretty good. Throwback Thursday, by the way, 2018. I like Patrick. We like Patrick a lot.
Yeah.
I'm glad he comes on the show. He's really smart, and he knows a lot about Houston sports. And I'm glad he's – you're there, too, and it must just be so crazy. If that happened to Tennessee, I can only imagine what it would be like in this town. If the Titans – like, they were just at the AFC Championship game. And they lost to Kansas City a couple years ago. If today we were talking about a complete and utter dumpster fire disaster, this town would be on fire. I can't imagine what it's like to see the Texans go from that moment to what they are now in that quick a time.
Hard to be a fan.
It really is. Unbelievable.